Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I will be with you for the next hour. Special reminder on this December the 5th on the West Coast, or now in the East Coast and Central Time Zone. It is, but did I say December? Let me go back. January 5th or January 6th. I'm in another planet today. We're in a time warp. We've got Michael St. Clair on for a two-hour special tomorrow night. He is appearing on Coast to Coast tonight, but stay tuned because we've got a great show planned for you. We're going to be discussing some anomalies and some new developing information surrounding the everlasting investigation around what really happened on 9/11, 2001. With that, I'd like to not wait any longer and invite our guest back to Evident Footprints. He's been on a number of times, and I think this month he's going to be on a total of four times, our schedules permitting, his schedule permitting. Anyway, I'll be here every Monday through Friday. He is the author of many, many books, over 20 books he's written. A few of them, which I have posted on my website, on my book page, at directlightproductions.com, Science in the Name of God, Wrongly Blamed, which is the story about what really happened on 9/11, The Secret Scripture, also The Magnificent Message, Parts 1 and Part 2. I haven't read Part 2 yet, but I plan to get a copy of that. And many other interesting books. This gentleman is a holistic medical practitioner. You can say he's a doctor. His name is Dr. Kasim Khalil, and we call him affectionately Dr. K. Dr. K, welcome back to Evident Footprints.
Absolutely, absolutely. Great to be here. It's a tremendous pleasure, yeah. I mean, we're talking about the same thing, the real deal of on 9/11. We're doing that right here tonight.
Yes, well, you have been a very busy man recently, and you've been all over the world.
Yeah.
You're hard to catch, but I caught you.
I know. We're hunkered down here in January, but, you know, I don't know why we have to always be proving ourselves. Isn't it amazing? I mean, wouldn't it be sort of, as they say, don't you have to prove it, the people who did this? Or prove that somehow we're not onto something. You know, this whole thing of spending all kinds of time going around chasing the tail and worrying about whether or not a theory might be, just give me the theory. You know what I'm saying? If you've got an idea and you've made an observation, don't think it's stupid. Be brave enough to say it, to get it out there. The cult of personality has no place in this, and it doesn't have any place I know in Mr. Nikoloff. So yeah. we're gonna knock this thing out of the ballpark here, people. We're gonna find it out.
We have these murders that occur all over this country. They occur all over the world, but I'm talking about the everyday. Murders over lovers' quarrels, divorces, fights over the kids, fights over the finances, people who are wantonly murdered on the streets for robbery, on and on and on and on. And there's always an investigation, and of course the media likes to try these cases on TV all the time. But why not the thousands of deaths? I mean, if you just ask yourself this question, why is it that no one wants to investigate this? Well, it's quite obvious, and we're going to talk about that tonight.
Oh, yeah. You took down two monstrous buildings that had a terminal asbestos problem that were in the midst of litigation to try to get authorization to demolish. mean, what was it, about 3-4 months before 9-1-1, the attempt by Rockefeller and his ilk to gain approval to set demolition charges was rejected by the government because of asbestosis.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, don't give me this thing that they're not connected.
Yes.
And I mean, there was those World Trade Centers were albatrosses. They were enormous money sinks.
Yes.
You can't build out in them because the top 46 floors are full of asbestos. There was some corrosion issues that the technical people said you've got to either deal with those or rebuild the buildings or have them imploded by 2020. And it was deemed that the buildings had to either come down or be rebuilt, by state government because of the dangers. Well, first of all, you can't have a building with that much asbestos. You have to deal with that.
Yeah.
And we're talking billions of dollars. In fact, the estimate for the World Trade Center to rebuild them, because that was one of the issues, because you can't demolish them. At least, well, we thought you couldn't demolish them. The estimate was like 20 to 25 billion. It was actually an order in place to reconstruct those buildings with scaffolding. The scaffolding alone was going to cost 2.5 billion. So, then you reinsure them, right? You flip them to a buddy who comes in as if he's a private party, Silverstein. He's your associate. He's a close associate with Netanyahu. They talk, every day or every other day?
Mm-hmm.
Guy comes in and, oh yeah, I want to buy the lease. And what, he insures it for a double terrorist hit? Right?
Yeah, and Frank Lowy from the Westfield Properties in Australia.
Second richest guy in Australia, yeah.
Yeah.
And he took about a billion dollars worth of the property in theory. So yeah, Lowy and, but Lowy's ex-commando, or Mossad.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I'm aware of that.
Yeah,
and they conveniently leave his name out of the whole issue, too. Even the 9/11 truthers don't really know the topic well enough.
They don't know he's an explosives expert?
Yeah.
He's a demolition expert, Lowy.
Mm-hmm.
And he was intricately, they leave it out of that. Huh? I guess that's why you and I don't get called into Fox News very often.
Yeah. And then we had this anomaly with Marvin Bush being the head of the security firm that had the original contract for the World Trade Center up until that date.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And he was on the board of what, WT7, or in terms of so-called security contract.
Yeah.
Gee, it looks like we've got our own Shah of Iran or Saddam Hussein who just flips it all to his buddies, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And,
now, you pointed out very well in your book, and this has been brought up by various scientists. I think it was Dr. Stephen Jones that originally came out from Brigham Young University, and he lost his job.
Yeah,
Dr. Judy Wood has come out and talked about some other possibilities, and I actually had some discussions with her. She was scheduled to be on the show but had to cancel. And actually, I had her booked for two appearances, when one canceled, the other one.
Yeah, I really do. But go ahead, yeah.
Well, she's an expert in mechanical engineering. My understanding is that she went to Virginia Tech, studied there, and then she was teaching at Clemson, and she's latched on to John Hutchison's work, which is what is called the Hutchison effect, and it's what happens to metals and other types of objects when they're exposed to a pulse weapon, or some refer to it as a particle beam weapon.
Would that have been from those helicopters, do you think, Mr. Nikoloff?
No, you can call me Don.
Would that be up higher than that? Does anybody know? I mean, obviously there's some kind of a pulverization that was going on.
Well, the weapon has from what I understand, they can be fired from anywhere. If you can put them up on a satellite, you can put them up on a chopper or on a plane. And in this case, you could see in Rick Siegel's 9/11 eyewitness documentary that a chopper went above the building, and you could see a flash of light come from what looked like the right side of the chopper. It was faced at a, I'm going to try to imagine, because the South Tower was the first one that fell. So it was facing west. Behind, it was on the south end of the South Tower. And you could see a flash of light. And the way it looked from across the river where Siegel had his camera sitting on a tripod just running, you could see that there was a round ball of light that blasted out towards the top of the building. And as soon as it was fired, the chopper pulled back and took off, and the building began collapsing. Both collapses, this was caught on video.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you have to ask yourself, what was the chopper doing up there, number one?
Sure, and it wasn't a news chopper, and it wasn't, you know, sort of response units nonsense. Those doors were locked. Nobody could get out.
Yes. So
it was part of the espionage team to knock out the building or whatever.
Yes. Now, there are several videos of flying saucer, a flying saucer, coming out from behind the North Tower. You can see this in Siegel's video, and you can see it in some other videos. Mainstream media showed it. In the very beginning, one of the Fox...
Is that orb? What about that orb that comes in almost as if it's something out of the Star Wars movie, and it kind of floats in and weird
That's a flying,
thing?
Flying saucer.
Is that what that is?
Okay. Yeah, and then you could see what looked like a missile fired at a 45-degree angle.
Yes.
Down at Building 7.
One wonders, was that down in Building 7?
Yes.
Now, because it looks like there's missile damage on one of the corners of Building 7. And it's been surmised that there was a projectile shot into that and that failed.
Yeah.
Is that what you've had reported?
Yes. Now, the chopper and the flying saucer were behind the building. Now, we know that they have flying saucers, So anyone listening to this show tonight certainly knows that we've talked about this innumerable times.
The federal the powers to be have those secreted away then as well? Or are we talking about...
secreted? We see them all the time.
Are we
people
talking
all over
about
the world?
But the man-made ones or in any case, we know that saucer orb was there. Regardless of the source, I suppose.
Yeah, well, we know two parties that could be flying them, okay?
Okay, that's enough said on that. Now, the other issue that certainly the Wood research and your findings seem to confirm is this deal about the phony plane.
Mm-hmm.
We know that Shanksville's a phony. And of course, we know we got to take Nick Rockefeller at his word when he said it'd all be a fake.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's not an argument that Shanksville was a phony and that the Pentagon was a phony. Now you have reason to believe that the WCT were phonies. Now the question that I'm raising is, how do you take an aluminum plane and not turn it into confetti when it slams into steel?
Yeah, how is it that the wings didn't shear off?
Yeah, because the wings are at an angle anyway, and it shows it as if the wings went in at the same time as the fuselage. The wings are at about a 35 or 40 degree hook angle, aren't they?
Yeah.
So they wouldn't end. Yeah.
I was just going to say, careful examination of numerous videos, and I spent the whole weekend, not because of this show tonight,
yeah, right.
But I just happened to spend the whole weekend looking at all the new evidence that's out there. And basically what we were shown on TV was a hologram. It was a Photoshop-type deal, and you can even see that the angle that the plane is coming in is not the angle that it exits the building. Well, that's because there was no plane, number one.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. Yeah. Well, we often talked about it in this house, how bizarre that was, the popular film, seeing the building theoretically absorb a plane.
Mm-hmm.
We were always talking about it looks like a hologram. But then some very brave Americans, yourself, others, whoever was doing it, people were going out saying there were no planes. And then the PhD guy on Texas, he came out with that as well. Now, who could dispute it? Because the plane would have shredded on impact,
mm-hmm.
no matter what.
Well, they're just counting on this not reaching the mainstream media. And though they want to tell us that everybody who is on the Internet is a nutcase, of course, they're on the Internet all the time. That's how they do their corruption.
Yeah, sure.
Why do we
have to prove anything about whether we're nuts or not? The people that are mad are the people who would not feel any conscience to plot this, murder their own people. As well as the international community, people from everywhere. Now, I wouldn't think Francisco Casiga is mad, since he said that the people who did 9/11 are the people who own the media,
mm-hmm.
the Zionist world order. You know,
yeah.
And of course, Nick Rockefeller said it. So I don't think anybody's going to say, "Well, Nick Rockefeller did, after all, say it." We understand why you. Conspiracy theorists. It's not a problem to be called a conspiracy theorist, because this conspiracy theorist, that's all right. That's a compliment. It means we're investigating your conspiracy.
Yeah. But there's no theory here.
that's the part that they're using to slam you.
Yeah, exactly. That one word.
But it's technically true that you're building a case that the NYPD didn't do. Yeah. But back to this plane thing. Now, this is very interesting, because many of us are looking at this saying, how does a building absorb a plane?
Mm-hmm.
Can anybody refute that?
Well, when you examine the video of the plane going in and see it in slow motion and see the fuselage go into the building, you have to remember this is special effects, okay?
I see.
You see the fuselage go in. And then the wings hit, and the wings don't even bend back or break off. They just go right in, like a hot knife into a stick of butter.
Yes.
And in the meantime, after the wings go in, the building heals itself, and there's no hole in the building.
That's a very important point, actually.
You see, in high speed, and you don't really know even what speed they're showing, because buildings don't move. The only thing that moves in that video is that plane.
That's true.
And where did they get this shot from? Where did they get that?
Well, you know, remember
camera?
Those Mossad agents that were sitting on top? There were a number of them, and they had the tripods, and they were photographing one and two. And they were collecting all those films. So
yeah, but we're seeing these shots of the plane as if a plane is flying next to it.
Oh, the plane is flying next to what?
The one going into the building. In other words, we're seeing this shot of the plane right up underneath, and we're seeing one on the side,
and we're
seeing one as if it's being followed by another plane. Where was there a place to set up a camera that high?
Oh, that high. Now, that would have been Photoshop. You're right. On those high ones, I don't know how are all of them showing the roof of the WTC, or a lot of them are anyway, right?
A lot of them are, but this, I mean, you're talking 85 stories up there. How many of those other buildings?
See. So that would have to be in the photo lab then.
Yeah, you have the impression that someone is following the plane. I've never heard anybody make a comment about the angle of the shots that they're giving us.
Well, that's a very important thing, because you're right. We're not seeing a guy on the ground type of a shot on a lot of those. It is like a trajectory. And, of course, there's no way a moving vehicle could have that kind of a still shot. Huh? You know how chopper films are choppy.
Yeah.
So, and, I mean, but I think the bottom line is that you've got aluminum and you've got that very fragile nose cone going up against it. Morgan Reynolds has done a great job, I think, you know, for a PhD to be getting out there and doing that. You got that nose cone, that's mm-hmm. going to splatter. Remember like a big bug hits a windshield?
Yeah, exactly.
A little bit like that. You know, in the C-130 in Iran that Morgan Reynolds came up with, that splattered against that sort of typical Middle Eastern, you know, sort of cement building,
mm-hmm.
it just splattered. The mm-hmm. wreckage was all over on the ground, and but there, it didn't even penetrate the building. Now, C-130 is a pretty good beast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, we have this story of the bionic passport that belonged to Muhammad Atta,
right.
that they found two blocks away. What
yeah,
did he do? Open up the window and throw it
yeah.
out?
Well, right. And I'm sure when a little spy with his little sort of black cap and matchstick striking the match and burning the corners of this passport and then just sort of... What I understand is somebody in a suit actually walked up to a police officer and said, "Here, I found this."
Mm-hmm.
That's the little factoid that we've not heard about. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, well, to demonize the people.
Yeah. Those anomalies became more apparent with the analysis that's going on with all this film. And really, we shouldn't have to show it.
We shouldn't have to prove this at all. And
why is it up to the people to prove what the government has done? Well, obviously, because the government knows they did it.
Because there's no way you could have raised those oil prices if you were on the inside. There was no way Halliburton could have got that kind of billions. There's no way that General Dynamics could have had that much sort of profiteering, and how in the world would Raytheon make those kinds of billions unless they did all this?
And then you have the put options for the airlines.
Put options are vile to enrich yourself on the blood of the human being. And, you know, people talk, all those religious wars or whatever. But think about this. There have been nothing more bestiality than the wars for money. Just
mm-hmm.
pure plunder. And here you've got an example of this. Not only were they satisfied to go after the oil wells of Iraq, they couldn't even resist the greedy puts.
Yeah.
You know, those puts went back to the Israeli entity, not to the United States.
Well, there's more than that, too. There's more than that. And you and I have discussed this to some extent.
Yeah, of course.
There were actually SEC documents showing a paper trail. So that said, I wanted
well,
to shift.
That's important. The SEC knows that almost immediately. They have safeguards in place for that kind of information.
Yeah.
But they've never come forward in the public domain with that.
As
the CIA confirmed that it wasn't Middle Eastern people, we heard nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they know very well who was behind it. And so do we. Now,
yeah,
that's... Go ahead.
In that regard, all those SEC filings for the corruption of the dot-com era, where those
mm-hmm.
banksters were defrauding the public,
yeah.
all of those lawsuits, all of that was in Building 7. And so you have, like you said, the criminalsters who are stealing through the puts, but then you also have the arsonists that arsoned
mm-hmm.
those... What, the 12th floor was where a lot of that SEC stuff was?
Yes.
And the fire alarm was turned off, the sprinklers were turned off in Building 7, and then they went in and set the fires on those floors, the same floors where all of the critical data, computers and files, were stored for Enron corrupt. You know, because Enron disappeared after September 11th.
Yeah.
Cheney was culpable for billions of dollars in corruption in Enron. Bush Junta was involved with that. See, they don't have any capacity to do anything correctly. So once they try their greedy games, Bush has been bankrupt twice. An
yeah.
Italian rescued him once, and I think a Saudi rescued him once.
Yeah.
And And so he went, they were about to go super bankruptcy on this Enron thing, and they buried that thing under the demolition. But in that process, no one got to find out that, in fact, Cheney and Bush family were heavily vested in the Caspian Sea project, you know, for the pipeline.
Well, the Clintons are in this, too, so don't forget them.
Oh, I forgot Clinton's role in the Enron fraud. Thanks for reminding me.
Yeah. Well, we could go on and on about this. You and I had the opportunity off the air to discuss briefly some things that you saw in some photos. Would you share that with the listening audience?
Devil's face in this. Why would anybody be surprised in the World Trade Center smoke? It's a demonic thing. Almost like you would expect it to look.
I don't know much
about it. It just is there.
Yeah,
unless somebody photoshopped those. If it's real, that's interesting.
Well, yeah. You would wonder, okay? I posted on my website on my photos page, there's an album of World Trade Center Ground Zero pictures. I labeled the album. You click on that album and a whole page of photos opens up, or you can view it as a slideshow. The photos were taken from a military chopper and all around Manhattan, not from one vantage point. This chopper was flying around and taking indiscriminate shots from time to time. One shot is of a person falling to their death, having leapt from a building. And then you have these smoke clouds. And when you zoom in on the smoke clouds, or smoke and dust, we'll say, you can see demons. You can see animals. You can see all kinds of paranormal figures that appear.
Yeah.
Now, one could say, well, that was a demonic act, and so these things manifested themselves. And that's very true. I'm not saying it isn't at all.
Yeah.
But it tells you something that we see in parallels where we know that antimatter is used. For instance, and I mentioned this to you, and we did a show with scientist Jim Murray on this very issue. Ken Adachi, who's on the show quite often.
Oh, yes.
Had gotten some photos from a man in Germany of two flying saucers. It's difficult to say how far apart they are, but they're next to each other in the sky at night, glowing kind of orange.
Yes.
And you can see a thin line or a beam of light that goes from one ship to the other ship. And our understanding is that is a data transmission taking place.
I see, yeah.
And so because it's a beam of light, it's visible in the photo. Now, I was looking at the photo, and I had this overwhelming feeling that there was something else in the sky. Now you would say, well, there could be clouds or maybe some birds or something like that. No, this was that night, and generally birds aren't flying except for an owl,
no.
And they certainly wouldn't go chasing a flying saucer that high. What you can see when we inverted the color, or when we change the exposure level of the picture, brightening the picture or changing the contrast, all the little subtleties that you can do to change it, not to alter it, to make it look like something else, but to bring out things that we thought were there in the photo. I found a whole grid of these manifestations that mirror what was there in 9/11 in the smoke. In the sky, in the night sky around these ships. Well, they're powered by antimatter. And our understanding is that these entities are attracted to that kind of energy because it's a very negative kind of energy.
Negative energy is a big deal. You know, You start putting out negative energy, it's a powerful force.
Yeah. So we're not trying to create fear here. We're trying to understand what goes on.
Well, you know that entity was confirmed in on the Today Show, where that little girl was given up for dead out of that coma, and they yanked the life support out of her, and the mother was hopeful still, but the doctors were also negative and dour, and she's going to die. There's nothing you can do about it. She's going to die. Well, our merciful Lord apparently sent one of his entities, and then the digital cameraography in the hospital, which is now installed in these places, captured that being. As you know, the girl survived and is home now.
Yes.
But the entity, whatever energy that light force gave, was then walking away. It has a very male electrical structure. It's structured and walking like a male. You know, it's interesting that, for example, the Quran says you always say that these angels are women. Are you in the heavens? You know that? I mean, you know, how do you know what they are?
Yeah.
And it has a kind of a wing structure.
Yes, yes.
And of course, I'm in touch with people who, you know, are in touch with these beings.
Yes.
And you and, you know, Ms. Gray and others. So, but those who might be too skeptical, don't be too skeptical. I've always been a bit of a skeptic. As a medical doctor, you are that way. And that's kind of good, but it can get in your way, too. Then you should go see what Mr. Nikoloff's talking about. It's a very, very good proof to you that these beings do exist. And call them an angel, call them whatever you want, but call them genies or demons. There seems to be two sides to this thing.
Oh, yeah. There's definitely a spiritual struggle that's ensuing all of this demonic activity. And, of course, these people can do no wrong. In their minds, they're doing what has to be done to accomplish
obviously,
their goal.
Larry Silverstein was pushing buttons on September the 11th, blowing people to shreds. And so was Rockefeller. So was Warburg. You know, whatever, there's remnants of their empire. So was Bronfman. So was Rothschild. And then they put up all of these disinformation artists under our nose to draw us away because they know what they did. They did it. Do you think that they won't put people in the movement? All over the place, Don.
Yeah.
Oh, the Vatican did it. There's one guy out there doing that. He's now been apparently shown to be an Israeli. The guy that's going around saying Vatican this, Vatican that. Yeah. Well, now you start looking at these pictures that Woods got up, it does look like an antimatter device ripped some of those buildings up. Huh? Building 6 she's showing.
Oh, yeah.
WTC-3, excuse me.
And she shows the cars, some of the cars that got hit by those beams. And I'm not talking about the support beams, the 47 columns that held those buildings up. I'm talking about the beam shot at least from that helicopter and possibly something from space. You can see once that fired and within a second that chopper pulled out.
It's a secret government then.
Yes.
Because this would not have been the CIA, and it would not, as such, it would not have been George Bush as such. It would not have been, you know, the sort of a military rogue as such. This is a very secretive cabal that own this planet Earth from a money power basis. We're talking about trillionaires now. If they've got a beam from outer space, it's their beam. It's not the it's not the U.S. government's beam.
Yeah.
And that's why you're seeing those wicked images, because it's most wicked.
Some of them are recognizable people in history too, and you know there's an interesting one that has the flying saucer in the still shot. So it's not just on video, it's also in the still shot.
Are you downloading all this, aren't you, so that...
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, this is backed up, believe me. The copies are protected. The saucer has a face looking at it in the cloud that looks like Cheney, resembles Cheney.
Well, that would be a surprise.
In the area, I'm going to say it's almost 40 stories high. There's an image of what looks like Adolf Hitler, but the part is on the wrong side of the head. It's on the left side. And as I looked at it some more, I realized it's George
W. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's one of Bill Clinton. There's one of Hillary Clinton. All over the place. I mean, this over all of Manhattan. These images.
It's just a handful of thugs and beasts that are just pummeling the human race.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at all those people demonstrating against the massacre in Gaza. People are out in the middle of the cold just saying, enough of this. Generally,
yes.
The people aren't going to do this stuff, man. Some guy was on last night, called me up after I talked about Anthony Sutton's wire transfer, that, you know, when the Warburg cartel, who already said, Warburg said, you're going to have a world government whether you like it or not. If you don't like it, we're going to do it by force. He essentially said that to the U.S. Senate in 1950.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the guys go, somebody wrote a book saying that, going against Anthony Sutton, saying it was the rank and file Germans that wanted this, and they brought Hitler into power. I mean, give me a 10-foot break. The Germans were doing very good industry. They didn't want another war. They already went through the miserable, stupid thing.
Mm-hmm.
They were busy building up their country. But this is the kind of thing, that's why, you know, can we, with all the disinformation that's out there, can we show an actual connection between that beam and some existing technology that would disintegrate those towers? We know that there were cutter charges.
Yeah.
That's a no-brainer.
Yeah, once the initial pulse took place, you could see all the charges going off. And my understanding is that they operated that from Building 7, which is why Building 7 had to go down later on to get rid of all of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would think that the command center had all the detonation charges, but we've also got one of the generals, a former brigadier general, coming forward and saying when the Mossad agents were caught with those radio transmission devices, that those were backup detonators, or those were also involved.
Yeah.
So you've got all that going on. I mean, you've got a massive amount of steel and cement there, and you don't want it to go awry. You want to get your $4 billion or your $7 billion in insurance money. You
mm-hmm.
want to make sure that it's a complete collapse to get the indignation going. You can't mm-hmm. afford, you know, that there are duds. If the buildings would have stood, then how are you going to get rid of Building 7, right?
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to get rid of the ugly real estate? How are you going to get rid of all that, and get that land back to your, how are you going to get rid of the debt? You've got to make sure those buildings come down into a piece of, dust.
And then scoop it all up and get rid of it right away so nobody can investigate.
Yeah. Bones and all.
Yes.
You think you got a democracy? Maybe we don't know the definition of that. It sounds more like socialism.
Yeah, or communism.
It is a communism.
Yeah. I actually think it's a mixture of fascism and communism, and running it is Zionism.
Yes, it is. It is a fascist entity. Yeah, there's Zionism is the power in America. At this time, there is no other power source. The presidency is impotent. Yeah, that's the truth. Now, ultimately, what you have to know is that a few wealthy families determine whether Americans have a peaceful life or a bit of a miserable one.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a lot of people that make that determination.
Yeah.
You know, and people are really suffering right now. I got a couple calls today from people, and I think I got three calls, and two of the three said, well, I lost my job, so I have to be careful about buying a book. Second call, the person, you know, just talked for a while and whatever. Third call, well, my husband just lost his job as a watermelon broker. So we're really only living on Social Security now. Well, wow.
Yeah, it's a sad state what's going on, the amount of corruption. I mean, these things were used to provide a smoke screen for all of the financial corruption that's been going on, and it hasn't ceased. It's progressively getting worse. It's intentional. That's an area that I have investigated and talked about on a number of shows. I think I even mentioned it to you.
You've
been hosting for Rick Adams.
Yes, you came on for a half hour and you talked about those documents that take it back to the heart of America, to the Congress and Senate.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess the impressive thing of it all is that we are so impotent. Are we that impotent as a people that must be the rule of mob, of the mob? It can't be a rule of intellect or passion, or because they just came and said, we're going to take $700 billion, and of course it's a lot more than that, you've been proving, and
mm-hmm.
you're not going to do anything about it. It's going to be from your future earnings. And we've had some boo-boos over at Salomon Brothers and Goldman Sachs, and we squandered your money, but we're just going to take it from you so that we can refill our coffers.
Yeah, in every case where there has been a false flag event in this country, and not just related to these cases, but in every case there has been manipulation of the markets and something going on with offshore accounts. And this goes back to the research that Christopher Story and a few others, including myself, have been doing on Wantagate.
Yeah.
And those payments just took effect around, I think it was around the 18th of December.
Well, you know what these Zionist animals are doing? They are getting into all, they've gotten into all the institutions in the United States.
Yes.
They strong-arm their way in there. They take over the finances, whether it's a university or a charitable entity.
Mm-hmm.
Charitable entity or a global fund. Madoff pretty good, didn't he?
Yes.
And then they they reroute that money to the Israeli entity, and then
yes.
it's laundered from there back into the United States for buying off Congress people. Look at Abramoff. He was a small timer, but he was doing that. In his case, he was taking casino money, right?
Mm-hmm.
And laundering it to the Zionist entity, also buying weapons for the illicit perchers over there. They're taking the land over in West Bank.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those billions are coming back because, Rockefeller would never pay for 911. That tight drum. So tight he'd squeak by looking at the fella. He takes it from the laundered money, from the taxpayer. The taxpayer paid for it. The Zakheim, Zionist agent numero uno, purged the Pentagon at $2.3 trillion. That's the money that was needed for those helicopters you saw up there and those beam weapons. They didn't pay for it. We even paid to kill our own people. We paid when Waco
yes.
was killed, and Ruby Ridge we paid. not just Gaza. I mean, Gaza is the worst.
Yeah, but, in a sense too, Dr. K, you're very correct in who is responsible, because ultimately we are responsible. This is where we're not getting the picture, I think. I think
that's
this
true.
Is the part of what we're doing, living this experience that we call life on planet Earth. We have bought into this matrix and this system of mind control and belief and, you know, it's your duty to do this, or you're less than worthy to be called a citizen. All of these different ideologies they use to keep us in control.
Oh, yeah.
And ultimately, we are going to be responsible for ourselves.
Oh, we are going to be responsible. And we'll be responsible for our silence. We'll be responsible for our indifference. And we'll be responsible for saying to ourselves, as long as it doesn't affect me, what difference? I mean, who is saying that? Must you say that to yourself to convince yourself so you can't feel?
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. Yeah. We have all the power no one else does. When we empower ourselves, then everything changes. Even this corruption ends. But it can't happen unless people have a ton of faith. I'll tell you what, somebody's afraid. Somebody came into this house, broke in. They didn't take anything. There was plenty to take. They left that, but they were after something else. And so obviously somebody's upset. I'm not telling anything that isn't true. Yeah, but I know there was a strange entity in this house yesterday. And they were here for an hour or two. And, you know, we're going to continue on. We're not saying anything that isn't right. So nothing can stop that. And if one person gets knocked off the block for a while, it'll be replaced with another righteous one. You know, it's a non-stop thing, isn't
yeah.
it, Mr. Nicolau?
Yeah. Well, there you can call me Don.
Well, you deserve it, Mr. Once
getting...
too.
They're getting away with now. I was reading earlier today Christopher Story's most recent posting about everything that's going on here in relation to how it's affecting the world's economy. And he's describing bankers in Switzerland and Ireland and all over the world that are supposedly committing suicide. Now, that seems to be... Every time banks fail, people commit suicide. You think you'd want to stay out of banking to avoid that demise, wouldn't you?
You would think. You would think.
But we know that it's not suicide. And,
or
that
these
just
people being
say,
taken out, or are they just being hidden away somewhere? You know.
Yeah, that sometimes that's the case too.
It's just a kind of a ruse to escape any responsibility and leave the damning result with somebody else. But I tell you what, I have no understanding of you know what we should do to stop this, except to say one thing: if a few good, decent people take the realms of the United States, all of this agony will end within 6 months. It will no longer be a financial crisis. The country will start being flush with money again. It's completely reversible. But there's the only way it would happen would be if people put their belief behind this and opened up their eyes and felt from their hearts a responsibility to stand up against this. And until that happens, my friend, we got a long battle.
Yeah. Well, tell me something now. Now, you have a new book, I understand. Is it out, or are you still working on it?
Well, I have a book. Yes, I have this book, The Fraud of Islamic Terror, and it's being sent to the press for the Blue Line. And then I also have a book called Fool Me Once, you know, the shameful media terror attack. And this is about who really, how the media and also the cabal committed 9/11, you know, to get rid of those World Trade Centers. So there are two books. This one's about 240 pages. The other one's a bigger book, 310 pages. Probably the most important thing is the fraud of Islamic terror, but a lot of people are going to be interested in this sort of Secret Killers of 9/11 book that I finished a couple days ago. So they're both different things. The Secret Killers of 9/11, or the sort of, you know, Fool Me Once book, that deals with who actually employed, I give you all the names. So if anybody wants a list of the names, I can surely email that if they send me an email, or if they send you an email, and then you forward it to me. I can send them that part of the book as a PDF. It's a list of all the people from the PNAC who plotted knocking out the World Trade Centers and who then covered it up in the media. And so that book tells you names, dates, motive, asbestos, you know, the corrosion issues of the building, the low rent, the court filings, the failure there, the desire for the, you know, the creation of Greater Israel, to get the sympathy from the American people, force America's generals into the military option, you know, conquer Iraq, to go around Iran, conquer Pakistan, and then go in and try to invade Iran. Well, the Iranians will fight to the last person, so. And the only way that that could be achieved or anywhere near it would be if America and Britain did the fighting, not Israel. The Israeli entity can't do it. They're too feeble. They're chickens.
Mm-hmm.
They won't pick on anybody their own side, never will, never have. Always doing it, undermining, you know, people and some, you know, through sort of like just terrorism, but never a frontal battle. They always lose. Look what happened when the Hezbollah, ragtag Hezbollah, kicked them in the nose. Yeah. Even the Hamas. As pounded as they were, if you try to fight them in the street, they'll blow those tanks to shreds. You know, they'll just run under there with a strap bomb on their chest and blow the underbelly of the tank out. So they're not going to be able to win there either. You know, so it's all about drawing America into these battles, convincing the American people that Islam is the enemy. You know, Islam says that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, says that Mary's a virgin. A Muslim, if he would even think about a bad thing about Mary, can't even think about it. He could put his feet in hell forever. He can't say a foul word about those great ones. You know, so the Christian and Muslim is a brother. I mean, if a person just wants to go religion way, brother in faith. But until the Christian people know that and quit sending their kids to slaughter and to kill their brethren, there's always a threat. I fear that.
Yeah.
I fear that we don't see it. We don't see it in time, and then we get drug into World War III. So, some of us do see it.
Well, we, those of us that do see what's going on, see the setup for a race war, and it's not just between the Muslims and American Caucasians. They've set this thing up with Obama. To foment hatred should something happen to him between the black populace.
You're very wise on that. It's a very big problem I've been thinking. You get an attempted assassination against Obama, or a real one. You know, you play that race card strong, and maybe you can get the black people to, you know, keep signing up for war too.
Yeah, and I've got an email from some of my listening audience who tell me that they're black and that they know Obama is not black. I've heard this on other shows too. I've heard folks call in and say, you know, he's
he's been represented as such to get the people to fall into line, thinking that he is this grand messiah. Here's a guy that can't even produce a certificate of live birth, and they're calling him a messiah.
I mean, who's his daddy anyway? Is Dick Cheney his daddy? I mean, who is? Somebody did something to some woman, and this was the product. Is it Rothschild? I mean, who did it? Come forward. Somebody's your daddy. There's something wrong there.
Yeah, and
some junior senator nobody is automatic president. And then your adversary is the Secretary of State. There's a Rothschild cartel did this when Madame Eveleth, or I guess Sir Eveleth Rothschild, or whoever it was, maybe Madame Rothschild, said, "Well, Hillary would make a at the Bilderberg conference. You know, Hillary would make a very fine president." Well, there was a certain hesitance on their part to put her there. They saw that the Obama thing was a little more easy to throw in as a ruse. They stuck him in and they stuck her in. I would say every African American should be up in arms if even one of their people started ranting and raving about Obama the Hope. I mean,
certainly we've had more qualified black candidates, and I mean, really,
well, what
really
is Barack
black
anyway?
Candidates.
Barack, Uhud Barack? I mean, okay,
well,
Kenya? Who owns Kenya?
Who owns Kenya?
Well, think about it.
Well, they were a British colony, were they not?
Well, there you go. And who? Where did the Zionist entity invest a great deal of money? Where did Herzl almost die immediately when he found out that they rejected his lovely Kenya for the first Israel? He wanted it to be in Kenya, and there's a major population of Zionists and black Zionists and in between Zionists, whatever. Kenya is still a powerful place. What happened there? How did this man, out of nowhere, get chosen to be in that position? And then you look at Zbigniew Brzezinski, and you ask yourself, well, what in God's name is that about? Everybody should listen to this tape. Brzezinski, who did he put in power? Last time I heard it was Pol Pot. Now remember what what he said about Pol Pot, that he supported China's support of Pol Pot, and that he admits that even after Pol Pot was kicked out, that the CIA and he and his associates continued to maintain that regime, Khmer Rouge?
Yeah. Well, that was about the drug trade and gold.
A lot of gold in Cambodia?
Oh, well,
Vietnam,
yeah.
Vietnam as well, yeah.
Yeah, they stash it. The Hirohito gold and the Sukarno gold was stolen and buried in the Philippines. A lot of that was retrieved and so you have a war going on while all this stuff is being moved, you see.
Oh, sure. Well, there's no doubt about it. You know, Nick Rockefeller said on a different kind of gold, black gold, that our whole goal is to suck all that wealth out from those countries, from Iraq, from through Afghanistan. We want all of that, and it's ours. Well, that's what they say. And we've just exposed Obama as being tied to the Zionist regime. And he is, in many ways, more close to the Zionist people than even George Bush.
Oh, yeah. You know, there's an interesting article that Jeff Rentz had published last month and last year on Rentz.com. It was written by Tom Fife. And Tom describes a meeting that occurred in Moscow where this lady was very anti-American. She was the spouse of the other couple, the Russian couple that they were having dinner with. And she began talking about, this was in 1980, talking about a guy being prepared to become the president of the United States. And his name is Barack. She referred to him by his first name.
Incredible.
And she made some comments about, you had a chance several times to elect a female as president or vice president, and you turned it down. You passed that opportunity up. This man is going to be, he's going to change the world. And he was being supported by the communists. They knew about it. How would this lady in Moscow know about it? Now you could say,
well, because Jewish. That's why he's Jewish. He's as Jewish as Olmert and Perez and the whole gang of goons.
Yeah.
And so the Russians are very powerful. World Jewry in Russia. They must have met him at a function. They're very secretive. Brzezinski, both Brzezinski Jr. and Sr. are his handlers. Mm-hmm. Madame Rothschild and Evelyn Rothschild are his handlers. Obviously Warren Buffett is a handler. Mm-hmm. So they all know each other, and they were grooming him, and he's probably from some birth that, wouldn't surprise us if we were there watching the insemination.
Yeah.
Obviously, the man's on cocaine regardless. I mean, you come forward in the middle of your campaign and say you were on cocaine.
And he's on Larry Sinclair, too.
Larry Sinclair is another thing. But, I mean, you're not were on cocaine. My goodness, you can see how nasal he is. I mean, the guy's... Clinton was on that stuff, man.
You're a doctor. Yeah, you're a doctor, so that your statement is not very shallow, okay?
No, I mean, it's the way it is.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of thing that people are dealing with. I don't know who in the world thought that there was some kind of a hoop. But I don't know how many people, what do you think of Obama? I had Muslims coming to me, I had Egyptians, I had Americans, I had Brits. You mean Obama and McCain? I always said Tweedledee and Tweedledum.
Mm-hmm.
What are you talking about? How could, do we not have any brains left that you couldn't see this? I don't know.
Yeah. You know, when I watched some of the films of the people listening to his speeches, and they're entranced by the neuro-linguistic programming that's occurring. And, you can see them just, they look like they're hypnotized. And
well, I'm embarrassed. I don't like listening to him because he's been sort of like promoted, and then if I have to listen to him, I'm thinking, you can't even talk. Mm-hmm. You have no voice inflection. You don't know how to speak. You don't prepare your words. You just get up there and babble, and what comes out of your mouth is an embarrassment to humanity. And I'm going like, well, I'm not listening to you. Now, I guess you're right. I guess people, and maybe they have programmed them into the trance. I think that's it, probably more than Obama. Because if you just listened to him, you would shut him off.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing of any substance.
Yeah.
And I'm guaranteeing you, if you want to listen for somebody nasal, you're listening to cocaine. And if you can show me that that man has any kind of a deep, profound voice, then maybe he has decided to go cold turkey. But as long as he's nasal like that, I think that's what you're dealing with, people.
Yeah. Well, Larry Sinclair brought that up, that he was smoking crack. That was his preference. So,
oh, he prefers crack over the snort, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. You know, I guess he knows best. But you know, George Bush said when they had they found that fag or the gay was in there, right? He was in that White House, whatever that guy's name was. He said,
Jeff Gannon?
I sinned once, George Bush. I was a sinner. You know, when they were going to kick out that, whatever his name was, in the White House.
Jeff Gannon?
Yeah,
Jeff
Gannon. Good memory. I sinned once.
Now, he was Johnny Gauche, the kidnap victim from...
Yes! Yes, from, isn't that sad?
Minnesota?
Yes, from Minnesota. And this his poor mother seemed to believe that at this point? We don't know, do we? If she knows that's...
I think, you know, a mother's going to recognize her own child. She has said that... Based on Jimmy Rothstein's investigation and Ted Gunderson and a bevy of other people that studied the Franklin cover-up, he is part of that. And they gave him this honorary position where he signs in and never signs out of the White House, stays all night.
What a wicked group of goons.
Yeah.
I mean, can you get any more vile than that? Whether it's Sandra, the woman that was shot, or the woman that was killed, the Jewish girl up there on the hill.
Chandra Levy?
Foster, yeah.
Chandra Levy, yeah.
Chandra Levy, Vince Foster, Kapotsky. The Clinton escapades for a call girl every other night. What kind of a... No wonder the whole country's in the sewer. It was in the sewer before it was in the sewer.
Yeah. Chandra Levy was working for the Bureau of Prisons, and she was going to come out with some really incriminating evidence about something.
Yeah, didn't she get frustrated with what she saw and all that? They did her out.
Who was it? Gary Condit from California, who... she was having a fling with, and
yes yes. I mean, can you imagine somebody's an intern and your superior is doing them down? It's a filthy, and then we're supposed to concentrate on the Islamists.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the slam dunk is coming down right on you. If anybody listening thinks that they should be focusing on the pitiful of another country, while our country lives in sewage, then I don't know about your soul, but...
Yeah. Well, Dr. K, we're about out of time. I want to allow you the opportunity to close with the message, and also give us some information on your books, any special packages you might have.
Well, we're giving away basically the Wrongly Blamed for everybody to learn about the attempt to blow up the Mexican Congress, the Alaska pipeline, the nuclear plant, so that more people can know, because of your show and such, we have prevented terror attacks in the world. They botched Mumbai. So because word is getting out who the real terrorists are, we have names, we have times, we have we have situations. So do share that. You have to get your country back, and Wrongly Blame will help you do that. And so that's available for $15 shipped. It would normally be $25, but instead of paying all that extra money, you can call 1-866-626-5888. I don't sell a lot of books. I should, because you should be supporting me for this. I mean, somebody who came into my house because of these shows, and they, I don't know what they did here. I don't know what they thought they planted. I don't know what they were trying to do, but it wasn't a thief, okay? It was a government. And so, let's support each other. you buy the wrongly blamed, you listeners. You get it, you read it, you share it with a friend. Also, you should be buying the secret scripture, and you should be buying the magnificent message, and you should be reading those, because they're a lot more accurate than the Bible. And you know, I'm a big fan of the script. I'm a big fan of everything, and the Bible too, but you're gonna get a more uncorrupted scripture with that. Yeah. Magnificent mm-hmm. Message is the most modern translation of the Quran. You've enjoyed those two books.
Oh, yes, I have. And I haven't read part two of The Magnificent Message, but I have to order it. So.
Yeah, well, you can't order it because it's not done. But I'll get you one of those. Yeah.
Okay.
That's basically it. It's just, the secret scripture is a shocker. It changed my whole life. It helped clean up something, a problem that I had. The Quran gives me a great softness in my heart, and I learn from it. So I don't want anybody listening not to have those benefits. And the wrongly blame will open up your mind. You'll no longer think, "Whoa, gee, the Mossad was just trying to warn us." You know, you're going to know who did this.
Yeah. Well, and you're also involved in your medical practice with some holistic supplements, I guess you could call them.
Well, yeah, I've written The Cure Is in the Cupboard, How to Use Wild Oregano for Better Health, and I save myself by using the wild oregano extract.
Mm-hmm.
That's something you can read about in that book.
But yeah, I use that too.
Well, think about this, Don. Lesser people and greater people than us have been poisoned.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Khomeini's son was poisoned by the United States, and they killed him. Now then, of course, we know that the Prophet Muhammad was poisoned. We know they tried to kill Jesus how many times over and over, different plots. We know that that Ukrainian guy was poisoned. You know, it ruined his health. So one of the best antidotes is if you took that blue label wild oregano oil and you had it with you and you had it at ready access, because it can even antidote poison hemlock. That's how powerful this is. So maybe that's something to keep with you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
and
now
don't forget what happened to a good friend of mine. They planted a uranium bar in his seat of his car, a doctor that was a dissident doctor that they wanted to get rid of. Yeah. So, it's a sick world.
I know.
It's a crazy world.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you for being on tonight's show, and we've got you scheduled for some other appearances.
When am I on again?
I knew you were going to ask me that. Give me a second here, and I've got to go.
You might as well tell your emailers.
go take a look at the schedule here. I'm all geared up for the show tomorrow night with Michael St. Clair.
Oh, that'll be good. Hey, did you hear also on my last show I did that an expert in Hebrew called, who's also an expert somewhat in Arabic, and he said that the black box recording, which where you hear what is supposed to be Muhammad Atta,
mm-hmm.
that the man's diction is Hebrew.
Yeah, because he's saying the letter P, isn't he?
Yes, 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 yes. And also the I is stupid, which there's no Arabic ever, ever, ever with that I. Ever. And there's no P in Arabic.
Well, let's see. To answer your question, we've got you scheduled next for the 12th, which is a week from today, and the 13th, the following day, because we're going to get into some heavy stuff.
Tell everybody I can do the 12th, and I'm being taken away on the 13th, but maybe we can do it earlier than that. But something happened.
But okay.
I'll be on the 12th. Well, I don't know if you can switch me to the 11th, too, but I would do it if you can.
If I was on the 11th, we would do it, but we'll see. Maybe we can tape a show for Tuesday.
Yeah, we can do that. But at least you and I are live on the 12th, huh?
Yes.
Okay.
Next Monday. Yeah. So I wish you the best. Happy New Year, by the way.
And, oh, thank you, and you too. And God bless you, Don, for what you're doing down that way.
Well, thank you. Same to you. You're a lot more prolific as a writer. I'm going to catch up to you eventually. But
I know you are. You're closing in on me.
I'm working on a book which is going to be a compendium of this research, which is pretty much going to lay it out as to what's going on.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Well, we'll keep working together until we find an opening to put this to resolution.
Well, I think that opening is staring us in the face, actually.
Well, I think so.
And
I'd like to see you do more on this antimatter weapon. Maybe you can do some research and we can talk more about that.
Yes, we will on the next show, for sure.
Okay, that sounds great.
We'll talk more about it. So I thank you for being on the show. I'm going to say goodnight to our listening audience. You have been listening.
Bye-bye.
Okay, you've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. Our guest, Dr. Qasem Khalil, or Dr. K, as we know him affectionately, will be with us next Monday, the 12th, and we're going to have to play around. I'm anticipating that he will be here also on the 13th. It may be taped, so we can work around his schedule. So with that, I want to say good night, and a special thanks to Don Newsom and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, and most of all, the listening audience for tuning in tonight. Again, be sure to tune in for a special two-hour show tomorrow with Michael St. Clair. In the meantime, I wish you peace, love, and light, and have a good night.